guess everybody knows here I'm a lawyer, right? By the way, there was a guy that needed a brain transplant a while back, and he went to buy some brains. And really, brains are pretty cheap. I didn't know if you know that, but they're pretty cheap. So they said, well, what kind of brain do you want? You know, and they said, well, what have you got? Well, we got some doctor brains and some lawyer brains, some engineer brains, and some physicist brains. You can have whatever kind of brain you want. And so he said, well, look, how much are they? I mean, are they all that same price? He said, well, no, they're not actually. The doctor brains are, if you want doctor brains, they're only $5 for an ounce. You can get an ounce of brain, it'll last you a long time. If you want engineer brains, they're, you know, $10 an ounce. If you want physicist brains, they're $15 an ounce. Well, what about the lawyer brains? $8,000 an ounce. $8,000 an ounce? Why are lawyer brains so expensive? You guys said, do you know how many lawyers we had to kill to get an ounce of brain? So anyway, I'm a lawyer. Hopefully I'm the good kind, the honest and good kind. But one of the things about what I do, there he is. Hey, Oscar, how's it going? One of the things about what I do is my job gives me the opportunity to see a lot of people. And nobody goes to a lawyer because they're having a great day, right? Nobody goes to a lawyer and nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, man, I'm going to go see my lawyer. I got an extra $500. I think I'll go see my lawyer for 5 minutes. Nobody does that. And so what happens is people come to me and they've got needs and they've got problems and they've got issues. And so my job gives me the opportunity to minister to people and to talk to people who have needs. They walk in my door and they've got problems. They've been hurt. They've been fired from their job unjustly. They've been accused of a crime that they think that they didn't do. Sometimes they did do, but you know. But I mean, you know, things happen to people all the time, and they have problems. They've been sued, or somebody's done something bad to them, and they have needs. And so it's a great opportunity for me to minister to people. And whenever somebody walks in, you know, chances are they're going to hear about God and they're going to hear about His Word. And one of the things that I talk to people about on a regular basis is the Spirit of God. And I talk to people about speaking in tongues all the time. Most of the people, I mean, not everybody who walks in, I try to ask God, well, you know, should I talk to this person or should I not? And sometimes God says, you know, sometimes He says no, but a lot of times He says yes. And so as we talk to people, as I begin to talk to people about speaking in tongues and so forth, and I'm pretty bold about it. I'm like, hey, I speak in tongues. I don't care if you think it's weird or not, I speak in tongues. Now, most of the people here probably think that, I mean, that's a normal thing to speak in tongues. But for the people out in the world, you speak in tongues. You handle snakes? You know, I mean, really, that's what a lot of people think. They think if you speak in tongues, you're kind of weird. You're kind of creepy. You're kind of kooky, okay? And so, but I talk to people about speaking in tongues. It's not weird. It's not creepy. It's not kooky. It's what God wants you to do. And so as I begin to talk to people about speaking in tongues and operating the Spirit, what I found is that a lot of people didn't know much about it. There's a lot of people out there who don't know anything. I grew up in a denomination that doesn't teach you about speaking in tongues. They just ignore it. And there's a lot of denominations, a lot of groups out there that do that. And the ones who do know about speaking in tongues, frankly, a lot of the teaching is wrong. People think that, well, this gift was given to me, but it wasn't given to you. It was given to you, but it wasn't given to her. That's what people think about speaking in tongues. And about all the other gifts of the Spirit. I get a gift, but it doesn't necessarily go to you. And then I begin hearing, talking to people who, even if they believe in it, they don't know how to do it. I mean, I've had people, we had a lady come to our fellowship one day who was 72 years old, who wanted to speak in tongues so bad. Her sister did it, but she didn't. The first time she came to fellowship, I got with her and I taught her how to speak in tongues. And she just began to bawl because her sister had told her that she didn't have that gift and she couldn't do it. And she was so happy to be able to speak in tongues. So I've had the privilege of leading several hundred people into speaking in tongues. And let me tell you something, nobody who I've ever tried to teach it to has ever failed to do it. No one. Speaking in tongues and the operation of, and that's what we're going to talk about. What we're going to talk about today is relating to the operation of God's Spirit, okay? And with kind of an emphasis on speaking in tongues. Because speaking in tongues leads into kind of everything else. Speaking in tongues leads into interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues leads into prophecy that you heard Reuben do, you heard me do. And that teaches you to hear the voice of God. The prophecy teaches you to hear the voice of God and to recognize it so that, guess what? When you need something, God can tell you. When you need to know something, God can use word of knowledge or word of wisdom to tell you. And when you go to heal, God can tell you what needs to be healed on somebody. Our scripture, our foundational scripture for the day is in 2 Timothy 3:16, and I've got it in your book. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what it's useful for. That's what God's Word is useful for. And here's the purpose of the Word, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And you go, truly furnished? What the heck does that mean? Well, I've given you a couple of other translations of this verse. The Good News Translation, and you'll notice that I go to a lot of other translations. I still think the King James Version is probably the most accurate book version of the Bible, but sometimes it gets a little... Sometimes you read it and you're like, what the heck does that say? You know, it's like, King James, man, what were you thinking when you wrote that? It's kind of hard to understand sometimes. So I like to go to other versions that maybe make it more clear. So we're going to look at a lot of other versions of the Bible. So here, the Good News Translation of 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the truth, rebuking error, correcting faults, and giving instruction for right living. And here's the purpose of God's Word, that the person who serves God may be fully qualified and equipped to do every kind of good deed. And of course, the Amplified is right below it. So the man of God may be that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good deed. Here's what we're here about today, is God has fully equipped you. He's given you everything you can possibly need. And as many of you know, this verse refers to, fully equipped refers to a ship that's going on a long voyage, right? The Greek word exartizo refers to a ship that's going on a long voyage, all right? And I live down on the coast. My wife and I, by the way, here's my wife, Rosa, in case y'all don't know her. My wife and I run a fellowship down in Corpus Christi, and when we have people in our fellowship who are sailors and who have been in the Navy. And so this is a really good thing to teach, because if you think about a ship going on a long voyage, and I actually had a guy in my fellowship, or I have somebody in my fellowship now who was on an aircraft carrier Enterprise, and they went, you know, over to the Middle East. And to get there, they were in Seattle, and they went all the way across the Pacific, and the first place they stopped was Guam, which is, I don't know how far it is, probably 8,000 or 10,000 miles. And so if you're going to go on a ship and it takes some 3 weeks to get there, what are you going to take on a ship? Everything you might possibly ever need, right? Don't forget the duct tape. Don't forget a screwdriver. Don't forget extra light bulbs and batteries and food and everything else that you might need. Because if you're going to be gone for 3 weeks, and there's no Walmart out in the middle of the Pacific, you can't just stop and buy something. You've got to get everything you might possibly need. Well, God has equipped you with everything you might possibly need. Everything. He's left nothing out. Just like that ship going on a voyage, God has given you everything. And that's what it says here. So the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good deed. Am I too loud? Okay. So this is what we're talking about today. God gives everything to everyone. And so what today is, it's four teachings, and each of them are designed to stand on their own. And so they'll overlap a little bit, okay? But what I want to teach you today is that, first of all, that God gives everything to everyone. No one is left out. There's none of this business, well, I got this gift, but you didn't get it. And I'll show you from the Word. Okay, it's very clear, and we will handle the difficult verses, the verses that people use sometimes to say, well, I got that and you didn't, or you got that and I didn't. Because most of the time what I found is that if you talk to somebody about the Spirit, they use those verses to tell you why they can't do it. Well, can you speak in tongues? Well, God didn't give me that gift. And I've heard that a lot. So, we'll start out, we'll talk about, we all have the same gift, and we'll look at the Bible regarding that. The next teaching this morning will be why God has given us the power, why God has given us the gifts that He's given us. This afternoon, we'll look at the specifically the gifts that God gives us. And then we will also look at, this afternoon, we'll look specifically at speaking in tongues and what it's good for. And what I found is that, you know, I took a class years ago called Power for Abundant Living. Some of you have taken it. And what I found is that there was very good teaching in there about speaking in tongues. But what I found is when people teach on speaking in tongues, they pretty much stop there. And there's so much more in the Bible about speaking in tongues than what was in that class. Nothing wrong with the class. It was a good class. But we're going to really dig deep into it. And by the end of the day, you're going to see why everyone needs to do it and why you need to do it. And if you haven't been doing it, we can teach you how. It's very easy. And if you aren't, and if you are doing it already, you'll understand why you need to do it more. So let's start out with, we all have the same gift. The first thing everyone needs to understand about operating the Spirit of God is that everyone, no exceptions, everyone receives the same gifts from God. God does not give me anything He doesn't give you. He doesn't give you anything He doesn't give me. We all have the same gifts that we've received from God. The teaching that God gives me something He doesn't give you is just simply erroneous. And it's, frankly, people, you know, if I can't speak in tongues, there can't be anything wrong with me. I mean, there's something. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with me. I can't speak in tongues. I can't heal. So obviously God didn't want me to do it. And so that's what happens, is people end up blaming God for things that they can't do. And it's easier than to say, gee, maybe I'm the reason I can't do it. So time and time again, God's Word talks about people being referred to as a whosoever. And we're going to look at the concept of the whosoever today. Anyone who is a whosoever is going to receive all that is available from God. And the first verse we'll look at is a very familiar verse, which is John 3:16. Right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This verse is quoted time and time again. And it's very clear that everyone is able to receive eternal life from God. And we're going to look at several other usages of the term whosoever. Look at John chapter 4. And by the way, most of these verses are going to be in the handout. You will need a Bible because there's a couple of places we're going to go to that that aren't in here. So, John chapter 4. And later this afternoon, we're going to look at this whole chapter of John chapter 4. Because it's talking about speaking in tongues. John chapter 4 is about the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Here, John chapter 4, verse 13 to 14, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Again, whosoever. Are you a whosoever? We all are. We're all whosoevers. Nobody gets missed. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And again, 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Wow. Literally conquers the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, our believing. Who is he that overcometh the world? A whosoever. But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. All of these usages of the word whosoever, there is never any distinction between one believer or the other. And you'll see, and I'm probably by the time I'm done with this teaching, you're going to think, man, he's beating me over the head with this whosoever stuff. But you've got to understand it. Because people, just drives me crazy. The things that people will say as an excuse of why they can't do something or you can't do something. People, telling you that you can't do something. That's just wrong. You can do everything in God's Word. When you get born again, you get everything you possibly need to do whatever you need to do in life. You are that fully equipped ship. So let's look at Romans chapter 10. Again, very familiar verses. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And again, Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you can say, well, these verses we've looked at only address salvation, Tim. I mean, come on. Sure, everybody's saved who believes on Jesus, but not everybody gets the same gift. Not everybody gets the same thing. Well, let's look at some other verses about all of us receiving the same Spirit. And if you get the same Spirit, don't you think you get the same spiritual abilities? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, having been all made to drink into one Spirit. And here it is very clear in Ephesians chapter 4. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. After reading these verses, there can be little doubt that God has given us all the same Spirit and the same gift. In all of these verses, God goes out of His way that everyone has to emphasize that everyone has received the same gift. And remember, with God, there's no respecter of person. God treats everyone the same. Romans chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of person with God. And then Acts 10:34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God is truly no respecter of persons. It's stated many, many, many times in the Bible. God will treat everyone the same. And when you begin to really delve into the blessings that God has given us, it's clearly stated, and we will see it over and over again. And I'm sort of doing this, like I said, I'm sort of beating you over the head with it so that you'll walk away going, oh, gee, wow, I guess it is true. And I know a lot of the people in this room, I mean, I've known a lot of you guys for years and years, but you're going to encounter people who, and it's prevalent, it's common out there. And really, here's what we need to do. Each of us needs to take up the ball and run with it. You can't look to me, and you can't look to anybody else. God has empowered each one of you to pick up the ball and to run with it. And each one of you needs to be able to deal with these spiritual matters and teach people. You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see every person in this room running a home fellowship. Because you know what? That's what God wants. He didn't want you coming to my fellowship. He wants you doing your own fellowship and people coming to you and you teaching people how to do this stuff. And I want to empower you to do this, to teach people, to show people this stuff. So when you run into somebody and they say, well, I don't know, I can't do that. Well, hold on just a minute. Let's look at what the Bible says. Let's look at what it says here. You know, Jesus never said, you know, those that believe in me shall speak with new tongues. He doesn't say, well, some of you will and some of you won't. He doesn't say that. So, God gives every single person the full amount of blessings that are available to anyone. And it could be stated another way. God gives everyone all. All that is available. Look at Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All, except for healing. I gave you everything, but I didn't give you healing. I gave you everything, but I didn't give you tongues. I gave you everything, but I didn't give you the ability to have word of knowledge. It's not what it says. But people make up excuses for one reason or another. There's even a figure of speech here where the word blessing is stated in three different parts of speech. It's the Greek word eulogeo. It's stated as an adjective, as a verb, and as a noun. Blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. God wants to give emphasis to the all, the spiritual blessings. Each one of us is given that. The other thing is that God is, when it comes to God's Spirit, God has given us all. God has given us all. Let's look at John chapter 3, verse 34. This is talking about Jesus. Flip the page. It says, "For whom God has sent, speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit without measure unto him." Talking about Jesus Christ. This is John the Baptist talking about Jesus Christ in John chapter 3. We got another couple of other translations in here to be clear. The New International Version, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. Talking about Jesus Christ. Because see, in the Old Testament, you know, somebody might get a quart of Spirit, somebody else might get a gallon, somebody else might get 2 gallons. God doled it out. He apportioned it. He gave people, they called it a portion of Spirit, okay? Jesus Christ was the first man to get all that was available. All the Spirit. Every bit that was available. Nothing got left. The New Century Version. The one whom God sent speaks the words of God because God gives him the Spirit fully. Amplified. For since he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, proclaims God's own message, God does not give him his Spirit sparingly or by measure, but boundless is the gift God makes of his Spirit. Now think about these verses in light of the truth in Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, if God gave Jesus Christ all that's available, what did He give you? He gave you all. If it's Christ in you, then you have all. All the Spirit that's available. All that's available. That's what God does for us. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. We already looked at the first three verses of this, right? There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. How much grace was Christ given? All. How much grace are you given? All. That's right. Whatever was given to Jesus Christ is given to you. You have Christ in you. You are a joint heir with Christ. Everything Christ is entitled to in God's kingdom, you are entitled to. Everything. Look at this in the Amplified. Yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually. Not indiscriminately, but in different ways. In proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bountiful gift. Everyone gets all. Now, this is a good place to talk about some other verses that people use to say, well, see, I didn't get that gift. Okay? And I'm going to handle those. I want to handle these difficult verses, all right? You can see written out here that my daughter, who wants to be a nurse, Becky, I asked her, I said, how many muscles and bones does the human body have? Because she's taking anatomy. And so she told me the numbers. And, you know, some of it depends on, frankly, who you ask. And some of it depends on how old somebody is, because little children have more bones than we do because their bones grow together. But as an adult, you have over 900 bones and muscles in your body to make your body work. And I'm sure that God, when God put them in there, every single bone and muscle is there for a reason, right? Even that little tiny bone that's in your ear that helps you hear. If it wasn't there, you wouldn't be able to hear. All right. Well, God has at least 900 different ways for you to function in the body of Christ. Everybody has a function in the body of Christ. And so there's verses that deal with the function in the body of Christ. And people do different things, all right? You know, it says in Romans that, I mean, in 1 Corinthians that if everybody were an eye, how would you be able to hear, right? You know, if everybody were a nose, you wouldn't be able to run because the nose runs, right? And if everybody was a foot, you wouldn't be able to smell. Sorry, bad joke. Nose runs, feet smell. So when you're talking about the body of Christ, certainly there are differences among us. All right? So let's look at some of these difficult verses. And let me tell you, what you do in the body of Christ, what your function is based upon your desire, what you want to do, right? Because not everybody wants to stand up here and do what I'm doing. You're believing in what the need is, okay? That's part of it, what the need is. And your function within the body can change from one moment to the next, depending on what the need is, all right? You know, I'm up here teaching today. Well, you know what? Next week I may be somewhere and I'm sitting out like you are. And my function within the body is different. So, let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Right? Oh, I'm sorry. I need to turn the page. Romans chapter 12. And this is some of the verses that people use to say that they weren't, well, he was given a gift, but I wasn't. Well, what these are talking about is your function in the body. Because God will say, let's say you have a desire to be a teacher. Okay? Well, God can give you a special ability to teach or to minister healing or to do whatever. Okay? That doesn't mean God didn't give it to me. And you know what? You can be anybody here is given everything that God gives. All right? It's within everyone here the inherent power to heal, to teach. Now, there's some people that, yeah, they, because of their believing and their desire, maybe they are more adept at it. But that doesn't mean you can't do it either. So here are these difficult verses. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now, how much grace is given to you? All, right? Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And how much faith is given you? All. In other words, do it with everything you've got. If you're going to prophesy, do it with everything you've got. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Or that actually means liberally. In other words, give a lot. Okay? He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. There's a ministry of mercy. There's ministries of giving. But I figured this out. Next time the plate is passed at my church, I'm going to say, I didn't get that gift. I didn't get that ministry. I'm sorry. I can't give anything. I mean, how silly is that? Right? How silly is that? But there are people, because of who they are adept at giving. Okay? There are people, because of who they are adept at showing mercy. That doesn't mean everybody can't, but there are some people that, boy, when they do it, man, they can just do it. You see? That's what this is talking about. Whenever you look at the Bible, remember, you've got to look at it. It's got to fit together. It can't be, well, I'm going to take this one verse and I'm going to blow it up and put it on the projector and we're going to ignore every other verse in the Bible. The Bible has got to fit. Everything has got to fit together. And if God says 100 places that everybody has the same gift, you can't take a verse like this. It has to be interpreted in light of all the other verses on the same subject. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here's the good one. I've had people try to cram these down my throat, frankly. I can't speak in tongues. You know, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church. What are we talking about? Your function in the church, your function in the body. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. In the church are all apostles. Are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. In the church, if everybody was going to stand up and speak in tongues and interpret, how long would our meeting last? It would last all day. See, you've got to understand that Corinthians is a correctional epistle. Corinthians was correcting some things that Paul was correcting the Corinthians on things that they were doing wrong. And there's actually a place in Corinthians 14 where Paul says, everybody can't have a tongue. Everybody can't have have an interpretation. You know, there's do it two or three at a time and that's all you do. Not because if everybody wants to do it, you're never going to get anywhere. So in the church, There are different functions in the church. But people have used these verses to say, see, not everybody are all apostles. And there's even versions of the Bible who say not everyone can speak in tongues, not everyone can interpret, not everyone have gifts of healing. And that's a wrong translation, because this is the translation. This King James is an accurate translation. Actually, the King James says all apostles. The word are is not in there. All apostles, all prophets, all teachers, all workers of miracles. That's actually what the King James says. But in the church, not everybody can do everything at one time. Here's the Message Bible, which is one of those modern day Bibles that it can be very, very good at times, and sometimes it's not. But this one time, it's a very good translation of these verses. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this. Only as you accept your part of the body does your part mean anything. You're familiar with the sum of the parts that God has formed in His church, which is His body. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organizers, those who pray in tongues. But it's obvious by now, isn't it, that Christ's church is a complete body and not a gigantic, unidimensional part, like one big nose. It's not all apostles, not all prophets, not all miracle workers, not all healers, not all prayers in tongues, not all interpreters of tongues. Yet some of you keep competing for so-called important parts. But now I want to lay out a bit far better way for you. So people use these verses as excuses why I can't do something or why you can't do something. That's what they do. It can't be my fault that I can't speak in tongues or I can't heal. God didn't give me that gift. Well, you can do everything that God has given you to do. Everything. Look at John chapter 14. Anything necessary to do God's work, to support and promote His kingdom, God has given you that ability. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do. Except some of you won't be able to heal. Oh, it's not in there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do, and greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. Philippians 4:13. We love this verse. We love to quote it. I can do all things. Except a couple. I mean, you start to see how silly this is, right? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? You see how silly this is? This idea that people can't do certain things? It doesn't fit with the Bible. It doesn't fit. We are truly all the same in God's eyes. And look at Colossians 3, verse 10. We'll close it out with these last couple of verses. And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Whether there is Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And Galatians chapter 3, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, for as many of you as has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. For all are one in Christ. Everyone gets everything. There's no exception. And it doesn't matter your race, your color of your skin, your age, your gender. My wife's coaching me over here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are or what kind of rough background you have or where you came from. It doesn't matter. Ken Petty calls the Scythians the hell's angels of the ancient Middle East. That they practiced human sacrifice and they drank their enemy's blood. They would make a cup out of somebody's skull and drink their enemy's blood out of it. And so Paul put this in here on purpose to show you it doesn't matter who you are. The worst barbarian in the world, you can take Jesus Christ and you can be the same as everybody else. Doesn't matter who you are. God gives everybody the same gift. Okay? Amen. Let's take a break.